This is a CC Radio podcast.
Welcome to episode 306 of the Countdown Podcast, where we are just busting a nut all over the place. My name is Wayne Splat.
Welcome. My name is Paul. The podcast, we count down movies and sometimes television or divorce, so you don't have to. And Wayne has not so subtly alluded. Mm-hmm. Today we're doing a topic which has long been gestating.
Ironically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The top 10 nerdgasm film moments.
That's right.
Moments
that's
right. Where you got your nerd on and were just, oh,
that's right.
So happy. So pleased. So thrilled.
But you turned
chills,
into.
Chills.
Yes. And you turned into Vincent D'Onofrio from fucking Men in Black. That's right, people. We're talking about nerdgasms this week, which means there's a chance you may run into the odd cum joke.
I'm
just warning you.
There's been two in the first 1 minute.
That's why we do the show.
That's the topic we have lined up for you. So we hope you're going to enjoy the ride with us. We are celebrating. We had a short lockdown here. So a little reminder that the world is far from done with COVID, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Your wonderful listeners in the US and the UK and indeed any other part of the world are still contending pretty hardcore with. I'm not sure the lockdown's as harsh elsewhere as it was here.
Yeah.
Which was basically don't leave your house for any reason whatsoever.
Wear a mask all the way. Even if you go to, anywhere. Yeah, now it's like
even go for a run, wear a mask.
Yeah, we're going to be tough. Going to be tough. Fortunately, I don't run. So
I do.
I know, Paul
so
does.
So I did not.
That's right.
But we're mask wearing still for another week or so, and hopefully everything will be okay. But big shout out to all our listeners out there who are still having to deal with a very real COVID situation. Let's hope this vaccines do the job over the next 5, 6, 12 months, whatever it ends up being.
We're going to get our shit to like October, man.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
Probably not, but that's okay. You know, let's give it to the frontline people.
Exactly,
that's going to reduce the chances of it getting out
of
quarantine and the like in any case. All right, that's enough of the political health side effects update of things. Let's get into this week proper with a segment that kicks off every episode. It's called The Recount.
Who wants a recount? Who wants a recount? Who wants a recount? Who wants a recount?
The Recount is our mailroom. Paul, what's up?
Let's kick off with a bit of a notification. I was on a podcast, recorded on a podcast last night, which will be out by the time this drops.
Mm-hmm.
For many years, I've been a big fan of Fans on Patrol podcast with Montego.
Fans on Patrol.
Bradley and Tifferbot and Dwayne, S-M-O-O-V-E, smells smooth, not Dwayne.
That is a mouthful.
That's pretty cool. But anyway, it was just Montego, Tifferbot, and I, and we did their yearly awards podcast, Best and Worst of 2020, and it was a pleasure to be invited on. Had a lot of fun with those great guys and gal, and they're going to be joining us in a future episode of The Countdown, so you
cool.
can get to hear them there. But don't wait for that. Go over and check out Fans on Patrol, the episode from this week. And
featuring Paulie.
Yeah, not just because it features me, because it's a great show in its own right. And then to the vote, which was from last week's top 10 movie needle drops.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the comments, Wayne. Paulie for me, said Smiley Salmani, mate to you and I. Had no issues with any songs on his list, whereas though Wayne's were very Wayno, there were a couple I just don't believe were needle drop moments. But all the songs would be make a banging album. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, on that note,
yes.
What we discuss we're going to do is we're going to put our individual lists, or should we collate them all together? 20 songs. No, 20... there was less than that, probably 18. We had a couple of crossovers.
Yeah, something like that.
16, 17, 18 songs. We're going to put them into a Apple Music playlist, and Wayne's going to try and work out the
Spotify playlist.
And we'll share it out through the Facebook community and on Twitter and the like and Facebook. So if you want to, you want to hear some of those songs all put together, which, yeah, sounds like a good way to ride to work and back again when not listening to podcasts.
Yes, tonally shifty, but whatever. It'll work out.
Yeah, should be fun. Nick Spinarski said, let's be real. Paul, love you, brother, but your picks were so obvious. I have to go with Wayne because his picks were not only awesome, but out of the box. So very nice there.
Okay, kind.
Michael Wood said, I heard Don't Stop Me Now for the first time watching Shaun of the Dead and will forever be tied to that film for me. I want to watch every time I hear that song, and I typically do. Plus, No Tarantino was a little rough for me, Wayne. That was your list.
I knew that would not be popular.
That one there. Luke James Human said, I mean, Wayne's crime was not including All Saints Pure Shore.
Fuck, no, I wish I did that.
But I can forgive that for his inclusion of Head Over Heels and Ordinary World, both average songs elevated to greatness in their respective films' context. One vote for the real hero.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
Timothy Cormack said, you had me at Scott Pilgrim. I.e., that was...
Of course.
Wah. And then Paul Stead or Stead said, fabulous topic and two great lists. I could have easily listened to your top 50 each. However, when it comes to needle drops, the mic drop moment came for me at number 7 on Wayne's list, Afternoon Delight.
Right?
I had completely forgotten about it. What an amazing choice. Well done, Wayne. I love Lamp.
Oh, Brick. Nice very, work. Very good.
Look, there was a couple other great comments in here, but here's the end result. I won 48 votes to 29.
That is a butt spank fingering.
That's a lot of votes this week. 77 votes. Yeah. That's the most we've had, I think, so far this
People
season.
People like the music, son.
They do. They
Not
do.
Mine, but, you know.
let's say yours. That does take me 3 with a draw. Wayne, I'm sure now. It's been lovely how the listeners have responded to you spanking my ass last season by giving me.
What's the score now?
3 to me. 0 to you, yeah. one time.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And again, to reference a couple of disgruntled comments, we sometimes have ties at the time of recording, and then one of us goes on to win, but we don't change the result, because otherwise we're
there's a
cutoff
point. Yes. Yeah.
But thank you to those who were concerned for Wayne's safety / spirit of justice.
Very there. Kind, very kind.
I think that's basically it for this week's recount. Thank you so much for getting back to us there. There was heaps of great feedback on that topic. People really passionate, as you say, about their music. But let's launch now into a bit of a promo for a good mate of ours, Gerald from Two Peas on a Podcast. He's got a bit of a competition going at the moment for his Golden Peas Award. Check this out and get involved, because, yeah, why not? It should be fun.
I call Gerald G-Banger.
G-Banger's Golden Peas Award.
Word.
Hello, listeners. I want to talk to you for 1 second, real quick, about the Golden Pea Movie Awards, referred to lovingly as the Golden Peas. Every year, I take the opportunity to celebrate the year in film, and 2020 is no different. Please head over to twopeasonapod.com/goldenpeas and find all of the nominees, as well as links to a ballot that you can use to vote. Voting is open from January 29th until March 1st of 2021. We feature all of the main categories that you will find at shows like the Golden Globes and the Oscars, but we poll the film and Twitter and podcast community to get those nominees. And as you know, they are chosen by you. So please cast a ballot, head over. Once again, it's twopeasonapod.com/goldenpeas. We love movies and we love celebrating movies, and we hope you come to the party this year.
The top 10 Nerdgasms!
You.
Yeah, boy.
Is the subject of this week's countdown. Thank you, Wayne, for introducing that. Now, Wayne.
I got some questions, Paul.
This topic.
Yeah.
Let's begin with this basic question.
All right.
Difficult or easy to put together?
Initially, extremely difficult, and more because I, you know, our briefs are loose on occasion. For a movie to be a nerdgasm, now it's easy to say I liked this moment in film, but it has to be a nerdgasm, which means it has to be a nerd-related film. You have to somehow justify the nerd of it. Am I right?
And so for me, it had to be something that was well-established, right? So you had a reason to be looking forward to it and be excited about it. Like, it can't just be something that came out of the blue and blew your socks off.
Uh-oh. So, well, you see, with me, I was like, here's this thing that is definitely a nerd franchise.
Right.
Right? Whether it was a comic and it became the movie or something like that.
Yeah,
you know?
Well, that's existed before.
Yeah.
That's fitting in with what I'm saying.
Oh, okay. This could work. This could work fine.
We're going to find out. But if you're like, I don't know, what's a film? Okay, 1917 as a film that blew both our socks off.
Yeah.
If you're like, got chills in a moment, 1917, that's not a nerdgasm moment.
Yes, because it's not a nerd film. Yeah. It is simply cinema. Yeah. Like, it's actually, although some people would say, well, what if you're a World War One nerd? You see? Now, that's why I didn't do that. All right. Didn't do that.
I can see that. As long as you're an established World War One nerd, and I'm pretty sure, Wayne, the listeners will know as well as I do. That is not your forte.
No, it's a
city. I'll tell you what definitely isn't your forte.
What?
Ranking Saving Private Ryan there accurately in terms of World War II films.
Exactly. So, you know, I was going to make that gag. But yes, so for me, that's what was the more difficult thing. But then I just sat there going, well, let me just find where I remember sitting in a movie going, fuck, that was awesome.
Yeah.
And if that happens to be a nerd movie, it's in
sort
the
of punch the air moments as well. Like, yeah!
Yeah, probably might. Yeah, absolutely.
In fact, probably sounds a little bit like this.
Oh, fuck off. Yeah! It's for everyone! Alright, eat my ass. Shut up, bitch.
That's a nerdgasm moment. You're like making like cum jokes everywhere.
Is that one of your shits?
I was like, yeah! He saved everyone, and often it is a moment where someone is saving every one of us.
Have you ever known anyone to go, yeah, when they blow their beans?
I've heard stories.
Have you?
About, this is an honest story. I'm not going to name the name.
We're talking about
someone company. I once worked with / friends with just said, yeah, literally pulled the winning as they orgasmed.
I win?
Yeah.
Winning.
Winning.
Yep.
That's hilarious.
Can you imagine that's doing
so,
that?
So stupid.
You're basically guaranteeing yourself not another ride with that
She's
person.
Like, when do I get to win? That's a Monica joke, but yeah.
All right, so I think we're on the same page.
I think so, but this could easily go south.
And we'll find out very short order. Wayne, lead us away then. What is your 10th biggest? No, 10th least biggest?
10th juiciest.
Yeah. I'm an idiot and I apologize to all with sensitive stomachs.
There you go. Okay, yes. My number 10, people, is a moment I remember wide-eyed amazement and obviously calm in the cinema. It was the opening of the Kingsman movie where Jack Davenport turns up.
Not sure.
All right, now listen up. Kingsman was a comic first.
The brief. Yeah, but had you read the comic?
No.
Then how can you nerdgasm when you
Because
have no...
this is a nerd franchise. There's two of them. There's Sam Jackson. It's a fucking comic that it came from.
You might
from.
As well just go to
you
some
can
random...
suck my dick. This is the...
Random fucking
See,
movie
now, this
as
is,
per my
This
example.
Is why bitches are in my studio now. The...
how I'm would you like to suck my
dick. Suck a dick. Suck a dick. So... Yes, this is absolutely a nerd franchise, and it's where I gasmed out. I don't see the problem here, Lawyer Prezula. Bitch, please. This is fine. This is fine. This is fine. How is it not? Everyone, listen to this scene, okay? Opens with Mark Hamill. He's a professor. Mark Hamill, motherfucker. Mark Hamill, okay?
Sure, that could give you a bit of nerdgasm. Based
the
on
whole
Star
thing
Wars.
Is legit, Cracker. He's being held hostage by 5 thugs in his hotel chalet at like a ski lodge or some shit. There's a knock at the door. Camera booms up. Door opens. There's Jack Davenport.
Davenport. The lesser known Davenport.
Davenport, yes. He's being all cool and British and fucking spy and shit. And he says, I don't suppose asking to borrow a cup of sugar is a step too far. Then the bad guy pulls a gun. He grabs the gun, pushes the dude into the room, using him as a human shield, dispatches all these motherfuckers by flipping over, taking motherfuckers out, shooting thumbs, doing shit like that. And then he fucking, like, takes everyone out in the sweetest possible way. He's using crab claws, like, with his legs to take guys out. Very, very cool. Hero shot at the end, booms up right to him, saves Mark Hamill. Unfortunately, he gets cut in half by the sword leg woman after that. But up till then, I thought, that's one of the best opening scenes I've ever seen.
So
nerdgasm.
That's a bigger nerdgasm than... Mm-hmm. And you're saying because of the presence of Mark Hamill, then the latter scene involving the church and Harry.
No. Because, Paul, unlike you, I don't get off on people dying. All right? Only 5 people. Not like a whole church full.
You're right. All right? It was not a church full of...
Well, the point of that scene wasn't as...
No, what a Baptist... Whatever they're called.
Yeah, Westbury, they're the ones who should die. But the okay. That's fair. So, no, but with that one there, that scene was about the violence. This was about the class, my son. Right? And also, it's your introduction to this franchise. It's the shit. I actually don't see your issue.
Very
but
odd.
I've never seen your issues.
You're fat, bloated,
bitch, please.
Stupid, idiot.
Point is, I came for weeks after this show. And the scene.
From vague memory, in the first year of the show, was your number one the year. So on that level, not arguing. Great film. Really enjoyed it. Just don't...
Total nerdgasm. Nerdgasm. It's a nerd
Let
franchise.
Let me demonstrate to you what a nerdgasm really is. My number 10 is from the Avengers, Joss Whedon's Avengers 2012. We've had these 4 years of build up. We've had films for Iron Man, Hulk, Thor, and the like. And they've all come together. And they fought their way through the opening couple of acts of this film. The third act kicks off basically with them coming together with the great circular shot of them all coming into frame. Yeah. Working together for the first time, arguably, as a team. And to see them all in that one place, all getting ready to fight the big, huge Chitauri fucking dragon transport ship, whatever the fuck it is.
Definite nerdgasm moment.
Holy crap, that was cool.
Kind of an obvious one, but sure.
Sure, it's obvious. But accurate versus I had a nerdgasm.
My shit is
no
gold, motherfucker. And again, we're 10 on the list, okay? We're low down here, okay? There's a few other things. And let me fix...
I hope so.
Oh, bitch. I ain't got to fix shit because that was legit as a motherfucker. Uh-huh. Yeah. But my number 9 is irrefutable. And also, it's going to lose me this list. So just so you know, all right? It is from Attack of the Clones.
Oh, God.
Now, see how this is going? See how this is going?
I lost you my vote.
No, bitch, please. It's fine. It's fine. It's fine. We're talking about the end of the film where Yoda whoops ass by putting his foot in Count Dooku's lightsaber ass having hat, right?
One or two patrons mentioned or listeners mentioned this, so...
Let me tell you, the whole lead up to this, because remember, Count Dooku is in there and he fucked up Obi-Wan and he fucked up Anakin. They're both supposed to be badasses, right? And then he's like, word to Big Bird, I'm just fucking the winner. And then Yoda turns up and he's like, whoop. And then Yoda's like, oh, they're having their little fucking talk about shit. And then he says, let's fight. Yoda doesn't
Count
even...
Count Dooku's like, whoop. And Yoda's like, oh, and whoop. And then I thought,
it's exactly the same
thing. Arguably, that's a better description
Read
than
the
actual
script.
Film was.
Read the script. But Yoda doesn't even pull his lightsaber like a normal dude. He fucking opens his robe and then force pulls it from the back of his belt. You know, that's cool.
Then force pulls what from the back of his belt?
His lightsaber.
Right. Okay, good.
Which was green. By the way, I think it's a wonderful design decision. Yoda's got a green lightsaber. He's green. Good call of costume. Good call, okay? But first, here's the thing, though. We've never seen a lightsaber fight like this before. 2-foot-tall little motherfucker, right? Flipping around the room with a 2-foot blade, right? And whipping and blocking much larger, like, swings from Count Dooku and shit. It looked cool as shit. And I didn't expect it to be firecracker. And then, I think at the end, yes, he fucked some motherfuckers up. He had to get... But Count Dooku did get away, but... He saved those two bitches. Now, why? That was exciting to me, man. That was exciting. Now, mind you, I'm the guy who likes this movie. No one else likes this movie. All right? But they fucking... This put the button on it, man. I loved it even more now. So this was... Surely you found this exciting.
Absolutely not.
You're a bitch.
I hate this series.
You are a bitch. Nothing, you're a lying bitch.
Nothing about Phantom Menace or Attack of the Clones gets me close to even...
What about...
Even half-mast.
So hang on. So the Obi-Wan and Darth Maul fight in Phantom Menace was undoubtedly the shit. Am I right?
Oh, you're right. That's a much better description. Unless this
nope, this one worked better because it was unexpected. The other one, I was waiting for a good fight. And it was really, don't make me wrong, it almost made the list.
So it was unexpected because this film's such a piece of shit.
No.
Oh, hey, good moment. Yay!
I didn't expect Yoga to kick ass, man. He's a little motherfucker. We've never seen him fight. That's why it became cool, man. We've never seen him fight.
That one definitely qualifies. Absolutely no
question. They all do, you piece of shit. I'm going to come in your face. All
right. I got a nergasm anywhere. Everywhere. If your face happens to be in the way,
well,
so be it.
Exactly. The Kleenex is on you.
Well, I'm not sure I agree. And the soundboard also has an issue with your choice.
Yes, everyone. This is excellent. Before the last minute I was talking, Paul was jabbing buttons on his iPad like a total bitch.
Getting more and more frantic.
And he's jabbing. I was looking at him going, what the fuck? And he fucked up somewhere. But he didn't press a button or something.
No, I forgot to unmute, so I need to make up for it now.
Anyone ever says in the history of, and I don't. What's wrong with you in your life? What happened to you? Who hurt you, motherfucker? Shit. All right. Well, let's hear your fucking number 8 then, bitch.
There's been a lot of swearing in this episode. I do apologize. This is my number 9 is from The Matrix Reloaded. Note, not The Matrix, because I couldn't nerdgasm over something that I had no idea was going to be awesome.
You are completely wrong about this list. You have no idea about life. Like, how do you fucking not get this brief, man? You know what? I should have expected it. Please,
because
go
it's
on.
A nerdy type film sci-fi.
Hey, bitch, did you see a trailer? Because I nerdgasmed over that trailer. What? To the beat, y'all.
Yeah.
Ah, you knew it was coming, and it's some nerdy shit. It's a nerd franchise. I don't see the problem here, Paul.
It wasn't a nerd
franchise.
I don't
know really where
with.
You learned English, it or... It doesn't matter.
It eventually became nerdy.
It doesn't
nerdy,
matter. You can have a nerdgasm if it's a...
No, off a trailer?
If you unexpectedly come, it's still an orgasm, dude. That's what I'm talking about, okay? You were surprised. Everyone was surprised.
You unexpectedly came. What are you, fucking 13?
Hey. Was it not an orgasm? Because I really didn't expect that, I got to tell you.
16-year-old Wayne is now punching the air with joy. Vin, oh wait.
Oh, shut up.
Vindication.
Yeah, you're a bitch. Yeah, Paul's got this brief wrong, everyone, so feel free to just do whatever you want this week. He's invalidated the whole show. I don't really understand how this works. And
imagine Reloaded. The chateau scene's pretty fucking nerdgasm-y.
Which is the chateau scene?
The big chateau. Yeah. The fight scene with the Merovingian and...
Oh, yeah, that was cool.
Whatever his name is. He's trying to escape with Morpheus and Carrie-Anne Moss, Trinity.
Yeah.
And Neo stays behind and says, I got this, just go.
Is that where he stops all the bullets in the air?
Yeah, that's the first part of it. And then he proceeds to have this great fight
He rolls around, runs up the wall.
Holy shit, that is. That's what I wanted The Matrix Reloaded to be like the whole way. But yeah, we had to sit through 90 minutes of him. Okay, Monica Bellucci in latex is not that hard to take, I will acknowledge.
It really isn't.
But the rest of the film was a lot of fucking jabbering and the burly brawl, which doesn't look good anymore in 4K. I can fucking tell you that.
You mean the Agent Smith scene?
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks, even back then, that's like a video game.
Not good.
We liked the movie though, remember?
Yeah, we did. But this, and the reason why is because this chateau fight scene is off the chain.
Mm.
And then, if you want to talk about a long orgasm, nerdgasm. The car chase, which immediately follows it, is also incredible.
Yeah, the whole...
That 25 minutes of this movie makes the rest of the film and makes it, in my mind, a decent follow-up to The Matrix, one of the greatest films of all time.
It does. It just seems like they had a lot of... Didn't have a lot of time with the CG or something. Or I don't know what it was. But
Let's remember, it's 2001 from vague memories.
Remember they made both movies together?
Yeah, back to back.
So it seems like, I don't know, if someone ran out of money. But yeah, no, that's a good move. I do remember that one.
Really loved that scene, and just watching it again yesterday for research purposes of the show on my 4K. Oh, on the 4K. It's astoundingly good. It's so well put together and choreographed. Incredible.
Optical media. So nice one.
Maybe I should just nerdgasm over 4K a bit more.
Yeah, everyone wants to hear that.
Your number 8.
My number 8 is Deadpool. Deadpool. It's Deadpool, and it's about Deadpool. You see that? It's called a pivot. It's a jump to the left. It's all good.
It's just a jump to the left.
So Deadpool, in his film, takes out 15 bad guys with 12 bullets. Now, not only do we have the best ironic meta movie opening of all time with the Angel of the Morning playing over the opening credits that mock the movie makers, but we also have this kick-ass action scene of Wade Wilson taking out bad guys like this. He says from in the middle of the gunfight from behind the car, he's like, I only have 12 bullets left, so some of you are going to have to share. There's at least 15, 16 bad guys. So they start shooting at him. He looks at the camera and goes, let's count them down. Then he flips in the air and he starts going bang, bang, bang. And as the bullet cases come out, there's a 12, 11 on there. And I'm like, what the fuck? And it doesn't go the way you think where he uses every single one perfectly. He misses four of them and goes, ah, fuck. And then he takes out a guy, but he doesn't like him. So he keeps shooting him and he goes, that was stupid, but worth it. And then, at these final bullets left, he flips in the air. There's three bad guys left. One bullet, he manages to line them all up. Fires once, it goes through all three of their heads. Then he lands, sniffs the smoke from his guns. Exhales, I'm touching myself tonight. That, it was like...
I think you're a bit too literal with this choice.
I know what you mean, but it wasn't about him coming. It was about me coming. So, and this was so good, dude. It was so wickedly good and still funny. And I'm still a little warm from the Angel of the Morning awesomeness. So this whole thing was just... There was a wet trouser here or there.
And unlike some of your other shitty choices, at least this had a pre-existing media to
doesn't get matter. Excited Nerd about. Franchise, bitch. It had a comic to start with.
That's what I'm saying.
Which the Kingsman did too, so maybe you could eat my dick.
Did Kingsman have a comic before?
Kingsman was a comic.
Was it really?
Yes.
Oh, in that case.
Oh, I fuck that you.
One. But I don't forgive your last one, whatever that was.
I don't give a fuck. You can suck a dick.
It's a lot more loose this week than it was last week when we were facing lockdown, I have to say. Number 7 for... No, wait, 7 for me? Yeah, no, 8 for me is fucking awesome.
Well, good! I was aware you'd bring some mediocre shit.
Do you remember a character named Wolverine, Wayne?
I do remember
how
Wolverine.
He was neutered and kind of pathetic all the way through pretty much all the X-Men films.
What? No.
Well, because when he stabbed people, there was no blood, no gore.
So? No. He still stabbed motherfuckers?
Killed virtually no one.
Paul Presumably.
The way this film fucking rolls. Until we get to Logan, the 2017 masterpiece directed by James Mangold, where we finally get to see Logan reach his potential. Nerdgasm.
Because of all the blood. You have so many problems.
Particularly you have so many problems. The scene where he gets an overdose of serum towards the end of the film and he runs, knowing this is going to be his last stand, runs into the forest and starts taking out the Reavers left, right, and fucking center.
That was pretty good now, though.
So good.
Yeah.
So, and so cathartic after it. A, the events of that film, but B, give or take fucking 17 years of Hugh Jackman. Yep, playing Wolverine and never, other than him being completely jacked, never being, I think, the Wolverine that we all know he would be.
You're kidding me?
Yeah.
You never thought he was Hammer Time in those other films?
No, he was, but this is the next level. This is...
Yeah, this is realistic. Element.
Exactly.
Yeah. I get it.
That's what did it for
actually,
me.
Actually, it surprised me very little that the bloodier it got, the more cum you had.
More nerd.
You see how it goes, people?
Let me be clear here. Unlike Wayne, where he's being quite literal, I'm being metaphorical.
Are you though?
That's my number 8.
Nice. My number 7, people. I tried not to put this on the list, to be honest with you, but I couldn't get away from it. It's the end of Rogue One, where Darth Vader...
Oh.
Dude,
low, 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 yep. Low, yep. Low, oh, low, low.
Okay. There you are. That's fine. Fine. Everyone,
what Wayne means to say there is brilliant, well played, Paul.
No, it's not at all. I think it took a scene which we all knew so well for decades. So basically, the beginning of A New Hope, which we had fucking known for 20, 30, whatever years, and it told us what happened right before R2 and 3PO jettisoned. So from the opening ignite of the saber in the darkness, great choice, must have been hard to film. And then just the terror, because Vader's walking through them and dispatching them and holding them up with force choking motherfuckers and putting them up in the air and grabbing shit.
Exactly.
And we didn't know he was that badass. And the thing is, if the original movie
we
had
started, told time and again he was a badass. And other than his one-on-one fights where obviously he cuts off Luke's arm and the like, we didn't really
get
to
didn't.
See it.
It was just swing, swing, swing.
So to see this moment where he takes out, what, 12, 15 rebel
all shooting
soldiers,
at him.
All shooting, and he's just waiting
doesn't
for him,
give a fuck.
Like it's nonchalance.
Totally
personified,
and he didn't even like if A New Hope had started this way. Don't get me wrong; it would have been awesome, but we wouldn't have known who he was. We wouldn't have like who's this guy in black smashing people to pieces. It would have been cool, but this is cooler. Now you see the thing
I think had A New Hope started that way, it would have been a better film.
No way, man! Because you would have gone, "Who's that guy?"
Exactly.
But
look
now
at the power of this dude. I mean, it wasn't possible back then to do what they do in this.
True, true. But this way, right? You've heard about Darth Vader for 20 years, and then you saw 30. The thing. It's a little like the Yoda thing where you heard he was the man, but then it happened. So this is the shit. Number 7 for me, Darth and Rogue One. Clearly it's on your list.
It most certainly is. And you watch that again, it's just an astoundingly great scene, which pays off. A lot like now they're starting to work their shit out. Rogue One, I think you and I agree, of the films of the new Star Wars generation, by far the best of them.
I find it the second best.
Behind?
Oh, the new generation?
Yeah, new generation.
Oh, the new, yeah, absolutely, sorry. Yeah. I'm talking about all. I think it's Empire, then this one.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay, that's Rogue One is like a second. Yeah. It.
But look, in terms of what we've had since Disney took over, this is the best film.
Totally.
Obviously, we had The Mandalorian as a TV show, which rivals it and probably surpasses it in many ways.
Absolutely.
But as different a film, format. This is where, whoa, they can do right if we give them enough. Just they fucked up the sequel trilogy, unfortunately.
They really did, man.
Anyway, let's not get back
to
that.
Yeah, I know.
We're celebrating today. Totally, we're not shitting on. Next week we'll be shitting, apart from each other, of course. That just goes with the show. All right, my number 6 is... I keep jumping ahead. My number 7 is also a pretty obvious one, and one which... This is a film I was fascinated to see. DC had shat the bed time and again, depending on who you speak to, through its early films and its franchise, particularly Batman v Superman, which was just...
Yeah.
Such a disappointment, and you're a huge Batman fan. I'm sure you would agree.
Oh, I was there. That was there with you, man. Remember,
Yeah. But anyway, here was where it began to right the ship, and the early word was it wasn't a good film. But Patty Jenkins nails the first Wonder Woman. I think the third act,
It had problems.
It had its problems. Not perfect film. Not saying it is, but the quintessential moment in Wonder Woman 2017 version is the no man's land scene.
Yep,
and you know, not just
is that your pick?
Yeah.
Ah, really? At least I can understand you getting a gasm over this. Go on.
Okay. Quite aside from the fact that it's Gal Gadot, right? But it's no man's land, which I just love the shit out of.
The
play on words. And she stands up. She's like, no, fuck this. I'm putting an end to this shit. And walks straight across it at the German soldiers.
Almost like it's no man's land because it's a woman's
land. That's my point. Yeah. So literally and metaphorically, it's very, very important. And even while watching this at the cinema, my daughter was coming up, probably just turned 4 at the time. I was thinking, this is a scene that I hope one day she's going to watch and this is going to resonate with her in the way that it's intended to resonate for young
boys.
Girls.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Girls.
No, wait, girls, yes, but boys previously had only seen men do that.
That's right.
So, yes, that's why, yeah.
And so I had a multi-level nerdgasm.
You had a paternal nerdgasm. It sounds so bad. I'm so sorry.
No. I had, but that's why I was so excited to see this. Apart from it was an incredibly exciting, well-shot sequence and well put together with the score right behind it, of course.
That's you and your Hans Zimmer, yes.
That's why, it's actually Junkie XL and Hans Zimmer, this one. So
one of them, yeah. It's both of them. Yep, can't hear it. So
that's my 7, Wonder Woman.
Okay, my number 6. Now you know, Paul, I'm something of an Indiana Jones fan.
Yeah, you and I both.
Yeah, so...
It's been an amazing trilogy of films. Can't wait to see the 4th one.
When is that coming out?
That joke will never get old.
Is that coming out, though? They are doing it, right? Okay. All right, well, mine is actually from Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, and it actually hasn't even got Harrison Ford in it.
What?
Yeah, it's the origin story that gave me a gasm. Let me explain.
Ah.
In the beginning of the film, River Phoenix plays a young Indiana Jones who is he's a Boy Scout, and he intercepts a group of mercenaries who are stealing historical artifacts. Now, it's what's good. Cool, you know what I'm saying? What about this is you see everything in this sequence, the beginning, you're like, why does Indy dress like that? Here's why. The mercenary he got dresses like Indy and gave him his hat.
Yep.
How come Harrison?
What does he say? You got
heart kid or something like that.
Bam,
yeah,
puts the hat
you
on
didn't
it.
Win today, but you don't have to like it. Yeah,
looks up. Bam, Harrison Ford.
Exactly, right? And then even other things like how come Harrison Ford has a scar on his chin? Because River Phoenix used the whip and boom. Yep. So that's where he got his first whip.
Where's his fear of snakes?
Fear of snakes falls into
that
the
was a very eventful day for young Indiana Jones.
And he's still even jumping over trains and almost dying and shit, he's like, well, Sheriff, you know, like, goddamn, that is how young Indy would be. He would be a cool little motherfucker. And he would get passé. So I would, although he didn't in that scene. But he's a Boy Scout, remember? So what are you going
to
do?
And if you're playing at home and you've decided to have a drink every time Wayne says motherfucker.
Did I say that?
You are very three sheets to the wind right now.
So, I mean, me getting those tags all the way through and you're getting
that's a great choice.
Satisfying answers, then it happens. I like it. Very cool.
I'm being big ticks. That's that one that fits all my criteria 100% for sure. My well, number good. Six is probably the one that's least likely to be picked here. And I think given that I, as much as I like Rocky films as much as the next person, I don't love them the way that some do.
Yeah.
I don't think Rocky IV is the greatest film since
Sliced Bread. Is that the Drago one?
Yes.
Yeah, I liked it.
Right? Yeah, I like it too. Right. I just don't think it's amazing. I think it's I don't think I've watched it again since the 80s, to be honest. So when Creed comes out, I was not expecting much, to be brutally honest.
Now you're playing fast and loose with this brief. Is Creed a nerd franchise?
It is because it's got Rocky in it.
It's a franchise.
It's got Rocky in it. It's a Rocky franchise, man.
Ooh, I don't know. We've decided to shit on each other this episode. Oh, yeah. Haven't we? That happened early on, didn't it?
Wayne's got that gel, guys. I saw the fucking trailer. Well, I saw the trailer and it's got Rocky in it. More credence than you got.
I don't think so at all. Anyway, we go on, please.
When he has his training montage and Rocky's being diagnosed with cancer and it's both Adonis Creed training the fuck hard and Rocky fighting against his his disease with Adonis's help, that just added a whole new level to a training montage we had never seen before. It's always the person who's fighting the other person and them going about their respective fights. Now we've got the person fighting, whoever, I can't remember the guy's name, to be honest, the English dude he's going to fight, with the third guy being Rocky fighting the cancer that he's got. Very powerful.
You lost some juice over an ill man.
No, I lost some juice over the fact that Adonis and Rocky were fighting together.
Okay, I think you have missed the brief on this one. I think you've absolutely missed the brief on this one. Because it's not a nerd gets like, oh my god, this thing. It's just you appreciated the cinema.
I was never been more like this is a fight scene in a Rocky fucking film, and I've never been more in than I've been in that moment. Like, oh yeah.
Okay, we're gonna differ on that one. Fair enough. But you know,
at least that was an existing fucking thing.
Bitch, it doesn't matter. No one nerds out over Rocky. It's Rocky. Anyway. Well,
no one nerds out over Rocky, says a guy who likes Rocky fucking Five.
Rocky Five was so cool. No.
Continue on.
My number five, everyone. I mean, you knew a James Bond movie was going to move in here somewhere, right? And here's where it did. Oh, that's right. Paul's stupid and doesn't like James Bond so much. Whereas me, every year, every week, I'm like, James Bond farted and it smelled amazing. But in this one, I'm talking about Skyfall. Now, picture it.
Good film. Sicily.
Bond meets Da Silva, played by that dude with the nose.
Javier Bardem,
yes. On this island after being captured, and his name's Da Silva. So Da Silva leaves Bond out into a courtyard with his Bond female companion.
If you pause and rewind that, what you'll hear is 30 years of knowing each other. Because he said, the guy with the nose... And I immediately said, Javier Bardem.
Some things can't be replaced. Anyway, Da Silva brings Bond out and he puts a shot glass of scotch atop the girl's head and says, presents Bond with two old flintlock pistols and says, you know, one's for Bond, one's for him. Try and shoot the glass off her head. There's four additional henchmen behind Bond, all with guns, right?
Automatic guns.
And one has a gun to his temple. And he says, you know, and Bond goes to aim and sort of like, Da Silva's like, is there any of the old 007 left because he's hesitating and shit? Then Bond fires, he shoots slightly wide, misses the glass and the girl. Da Silva then casually shoots her. Boom. Right? She goes, I know, it's horrible.
Bad
guy. It's so horrible. And then Da Silva goes, I win. Then Bond, who's surrounded by five or four, whatever, thugs, with one gun at his temple, says, it's just that it's such a waste of good scotch. And then he does this move, okay? This is the move, right? One move. He swings the heavy flintlock pistol around him to knock the arm of the henchman away from his head. So now the gun is pointing at another henchman. He fires, kills, shoots that henchman. Boom. Right? Same move, knocks him down, right? Throws the flintlock at a third henchman, right? Hits him, knocks him down. Then fucking...
Why have the other two shot him to death?
The other two... this is all one move. It happens in like 2 seconds, right? Because bang, bang.
You know
and
what
then,
would be also be one move? Squeezing a trigger.
No. They hadn't had the guns out. Only one guy had the gun out with a gun at his temple. No, it's not. He was... There was one guy there. They would have had... This is completely... If you see the scene, it works completely, okay? Then he wrestles the auto pistol from that guy, shoots his knees, puts him on the floor, flips around, and actually shoots upside down at the last guy, right? Bang, 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 right? Then the final fourth guy's got an Uzi. He starts shooting. And man, this happened in like 2 seconds there, direct, right? He uses that guy on the floor as a human shield to reflect all the bullets, and then boom, 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 takes him out, comes out, clears the room. He's got the silver.
And where was Seth Green during this?
Who's Seth Green?
Dad, can we just kill the guy?
Oh, you're a bitch. The thing is, it happened in 1 second, though. So it's like...
No, it didn't.
This, it did. Listen, actually, I would say 5 seconds. Okay, but purely, morely because of the movie, it's like boom, 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 boom. And because you're thinking to yourself, how the hell is Bond going to get out of this? There's like four cunts there. And one cunt's got a thing in his gun.
Apparently four cunts who are sitting there picking their teeth with a toothpick.
No. Watch the scene. Watch the scene. They all have... Because most of the time, he's using the guy he's restrained in front of, between him and them. So they can't just fire. Very clever. Very Bond. Only Bond does that shit. This is how you James Bond, y'all. That is the tits. That's why Timothy... What's his name?
Dalton.
Yeah. Not Timothy Dalton. I'm talking about this guy. Daniel Craig is the best Bond. He's the best Bond that ever lived.
I like the way that when you were meant to say Daniel Craig, you just said, that's why Timothy?
Yeah. It's. I was thinking of white men. So... But yeah, I remember thinking shitting my pants. Now, get me wrong. If you're talking about Bond films, right, you could argue Casino Royale, that opening. I say that because I know it's on yours. That's really good. That almost made this list, but this was cooler and it was a moment. Exactly how long it takes to blow a bean. So there you go.
Ladies, Wayne is single.
Really single.
My number five, Rogue One. Darth Vader scene.
Rogue One. Yep. Nice one. My number four was Batman's warehouse fight scene in said Batman and Robin.
Batman versus Superman.
Sorry, Batman versus Superman. It's a Sunday and this we're out of lockdown, everyone.
Fucking show.
Batman v Superman, sorry, of course.
I have a Mickey Mouse fucking co-host.
Everyone knows. But for the record, the movie was disappointing. This was the one bright thing.
Garbage. But okay? Yeah, you're right.
Because him actually, Batman advancing in that warehouse and taking out thugs, half the time he was just nudging them to knock them out so that he could take out the guy in the end. And then he's doing shit like pushing their head through the floor, smacking stuff down. The camera's canting to actually watch him, you know, very, very cool. There's a moment where he stabs a dude in the cock, man. It fucking happens. Like this guy.
So having chastised me for liking violence in Logan, Wayne is now going for the most violent scene in Batman v Superman. Okay.
It happened out of the frame. So So you can still come, Paul. That's what I'm saying.
Implied violence in Wayne's world.
Much better than actual splat. I mean, oh, hell to the no, man. Yes, exactly all of those things. And of course, he rescues Superman's mom and does some line from The Dark Knight. So the whole thing was very referencey, but also the flyest thing ever. If only the whole movie was that. I would have liked it.
If only. I would have liked that. That is one of the spurious scenes in an otherwise disappointing film.
Hells yeah.
My number four, well, you can't have a Nerdgasm podcast without mentioning this series of films from Peter Jackson, the New Zealand films. The Lord of the Rings, The Fellowship of the Ring in particular is my, I think, our favorite film in that trilogy.
Fellowship of My Ring is the first one, yes?
Yeah.
Yep.
Aragorn, when the ring starts to call to him.
That's the one you like?
Well, at that, and he says no, and he tells Frodo, he breaks their bond, you need to go, because he realizes this ring is going to break us. There's no way, Boromir has already been broken and already tries to take the ring.
He got fucked up.
So Aragorn resists the temptation, he says, off you run. And then, meanwhile, the army of, or the huge platoon of Uruk-hai, including the leader, what's his name? I wrote it down here, Lurtz. They turn up and he just wades into them, one dude against 40 or 50 of them, and he's going to die. So, not only has he resisted the ring's pull, who he could have saved his life and whatever, he's now going to protect Frodo to the death. And it's only, he wades into, kills 5 or 6 of them, and then Legolas and Gimli turn up. And then Boromir comes back to his moment of redemption. And of course, he dies through that scene as well. And then the other hobbits all rally around. And it's just Aragorn time and again. And oh my God.
The dudes turned up and helped him, right?
Eventually. He just walked in there going, this is my end. Just smiling like, here we go. That is.
But he would have like, it's very heroic. But think about this, right? He was going to go down in like 10 minutes or 5 minutes or whatever. Yeah,
he would have
died.
But he was prepared to do that to give enough time for the Hobbit.
But would that have worked? Frodo, he would have gotten away. Okay, good. Okay, well then that's fine then. Yeah, no, that's great. So that's
just
great.
Such an amazing scene. Like, oh, this film, which some people don't like because it's all set up and, well, not all set up, a lot of set up and it it establishes the world and whatever.
No, Fellowship was so good,
but for me, I think it's a perfectly paced film, and this scene is the culmination of the film and the culmination of my loins.
Finally, a cum joke from Paul. This I had a Lord of the Rings moment, which just didn't make my list, right?
Okay.
And it was actually a couple. There was one. There's, similarly, remember there's that scene in, I'm not sure which movie it was, but Aragorn, again, is about to bust a cap, and the army of the ghosts of the dead people that he convinced to fight for him actually come in after him.
Right.
Because it looks like just him again, and all of a sudden it's all these people. And but the thing that probably almost made the list was when, remember when the wizard, what's his name?
Gandalf.
The Balrog? And it was the beginning of the next movie after he supposedly died. And he's falling with this fire monster and he's fucking him up with a sword and shit. I'm like, I didn't expect any of that
you
shit, man.
Shall
pass. And boom. But that, yeah, this is good. Look, there's a lot in these things. Did you like the third one? You did like the third one.
I like them all. I just think Two Towers, to me, I know this is...
It's just a fight. It's a big
battle. Well, it's a fight when you get there, but you got to deal with an hour and a half walking trees first, which doesn't do it for me.
Ah, the walking trees. I do remember your disdain for that. Yes.
That's it. Nice. I think I'm due a rewatch. I'd love to watch them with my daughter. I don't know if she's quite old enough yet to hold her attention, but 2-3 years from now, that's my intention, is to watch these films with her.
Actually, that's pretty good for kids.
Just released.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Nice. Oh, by then, it'll be a hologram. So...
2 years from now.
Two years from now, it's the Star Trek deck where you just...
You put a helmet on your head, you're in a film. Okay.
Oh, totally.
Yep.
It's called VR, man. What's up?
Well, they need to do something given COVID, so we don't have to leave our house.
Exactly. Yep. Someone's making money. All right. My number three is absolutely, according to Paul, not the deal, but me, totally the deal.
Oh,
it's Bullet Time in the Matrix, man. It is Bullet Time. It's a nerdgasm. Why? Because we'd never seen it before. Now, again... This is the
is
reason
that not
anyone
just appreciation
would see
for technology you've not seen.
No, man, it's a geek franchise that you came over when you saw it. That's what a nerdgasm is.
Eventually, geek establish itself as
doesn't a... mean it, motherfucker. This is the dumbest shit ever. Why would you think this way? Who did this to you? That is absolutely not the
look,
brief.
There's
what
no
the
arguing
hell?
With logic.
No,
and
apparently
Wayne
there isn't.
Zero of it. So.
Please. Oh, God. Everyone.
It's like trying to argue with a Trump supporter.
It's like trying to argue with Paul's nutsack. Actually, that's a pretty big insult you just dropped at me.
I thought we'd get more of a play.
Nutsack is nothing, right? Okay, well, let me just say what Keanu Reeves said about this. He said, when it comes to shooting Neo dodging bullets, it was on a stage with a green screen, 100 cameras. I was on a wire. It was extraordinary to be a human piece of bullet time. And then he said, I threw myself back, did the choreography. They did it a million times. Then he said he started to see bullet time enter the mainstream in commercials. People would say bullet time. No one actually said it before this. And then you see them moving a camera like that during football games. And he said, there's nothing like the original, but it's all still really cool. This is sort of pervaded nerd culture.
Absolutely, it's a game changer.
Yeah.
There's no arguments at all about that.
The first time I saw it, in a trailer no less. Then I saw it in the movie, it was even better.
Yeah, I saw it in the trailer, therefore I was excited for it. It is an interesting fallback point. But
it is not a fallback. It doesn't need a fallback. This is a nerd. Oh, God, you know what? It's like talking to a Trump supporter.
Can't use my joke back at me. You lame-ass piece of shit.
That's what a Trump supporter would do.
Exactly.
This wasn't supposed to get political, but that's funny. No, it's just funny.
Your face is wrong. Well, wait, your face is wrong.
That's right. Make my face great again.
What's wrong with yours, you dickhead?
We've been drinking. All right, so...
Well, one of us has.
Yeah. We're both fucked up, though. Yeah, there you are. That's my number motherfucking three.
Three, okay. Well, fine. Look, at least you had a Matrix moment in there. Maybe I should just be pleased about that. My number three... is from a film that we saw together, Advanced Screen. We talked about this story on the podcast a lot, but in Serenity, the culmination of Firefly, when we've had a death of a character, I won't mention it, 16 years ago, spoilers, Wash is dead, and Simon gets shot, and River turns around, having realized her brother's going to die. They're all going to die.
Mm.
She throws herself into the fray against a bunch of the scariest things that have been established.
Now, we should mention, they're all hiding from these Reavers, and there's shit tons of them, and they're running out of bullets, and it's like, well, we're all going to die. And there's like, shit tons of them
out
there.
And she says, my turn, and runs and throws herself through the
with no gun.
The door with no gun, just hands as her only weapons. She's definitely dead. We go to another scene, and so it's a kind of a dualistic moment, like, oh, almost there. And we come back in this wonderful slow-mo section where all these things are swinging blades and knives and shit at her. And she's just ballet, like, wading out of the way and then, responding.
Fucking them up hard.
Oh, it's so cool. It looks so amazing. Picks up a sword, fucking wigs it around, slashes five of them. They fall back. It's so incredible. And then you still think maybe she's been killed when they overwhelm her.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, when the doors open up, there she is standing in silhouette with the two blades in her hand.
That's what I remember. I actually do remember that bit because it's like, I thought, because you could get away with just her going out there, you don't show any of it, and then you come back and she's taking them all out.
Yep.
But fortunately, we got some of it.
Yeah.
Because, that's cool. Given that you love, this is what a nerdgasm is, Paul. That's what it is. So, just so you know.
It's not the first film in a series that no one knew about.
Bitch, please. Bitch and please.
That's my three Serenity.
Okay. My number. Nice. My number two is, well, it's probably what we thought of when we came up with this thing. It's Avengers Endgame. Cap picks up Mjolnir. Oh, sorry, doesn't pick up. Throws Mjolnir off screen and it returns to his fucking fist. Now, he's in the big battle. There's no one out there who doesn't know
is
this
Is that the
scene.
Way it works? I can't remember how
Thor
he
is fighting. Thor is fighting Thanos. Thanos is busting a cap in his ass, right? And then just as Thanos is about to give this blow, smashing him into a rock, Mjolnir hits him in the head and it flies past him and comes back and then boom.
And Thor says, I knew it!
I knew it! Right? And you've seen these videos on the line, right? Of people in cinemas freaking out at this and another scene in that, that movie. But
yeah, don't speak anymore because maybe
I won't. But I do. I think
100%
in my head, I punched the air and said, "Yeah!" like this. I'm sure I did because I couldn't believe that it happened, and it was so cool.
You know what? This isn't on my list.
Yeah, because it could be. Yeah,
yeah. Maybe that's partly why
it is,
but
it
also is. Because. Like, I didn't even know Mjolnir's name until recently, so I can't claim to be that comic book fan. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, I agree. Point of fact.
It was a good moment, don't get me wrong. It was a yay moment, but it wasn't as good as another moment in that film, which I'm going to talk about very shortly.
For me.
Absolutely,
I understand. For me, it was just like, wait, this guy that I already loved now has way more reasons for me to love him, as in he's worthy? Holy shit. Yeah. Right? And by the way.
And everyone, they set it up beautifully in fact, probably the best moment in the whole of Age of Ultron, which is a piece of shit.
Paul and I just talked about this. Paul hates that movie. I initially did not hate it, but I was watching it again, and I think that scene where they're all lounging around, and they're picking up the thing.
Great scene.
It's
a great scene.
I
rewatched it with my daughter last week before. And I'm just like, oh my God, this is terrible. I think I might have given it 2.5 stars on the fifth episode of the podcast or fourth episode of the podcast.
It's fine. It's just not as good as the others. That's what happened. It's the worst of the four, sure.
Oh,
no doubt.
So bad. It's one of the worst Marvel films by a long way.
Nah, see, that's it. Paul thinks it's only slightly above motherfucking Iron Man 2, right?
Yep.
Bitch, please. Come on.
And Thor the Dark
It's
World.
Way above that.
No.
It's and then, better
and
than
then,
Ant-Man.
Since then, I've watched Ant-Man and Captain America.
It's better
Civil
than
War.
Ant-Man.
No, it's not.
It's not better than Civil War.
Civil War's way better than
you
that.
You know what? You know why Captain America wins this one here for me and he's the shit? Like, he's fucking... Like, I could have picked the knife flip from fucking the second Cap movie. I could have picked
Winter
any
Soldier,
of... I could make... Those are all, like, honorable mentions, right?
I'm stunned you didn't pick the knife flip.
It was in there in an early draft. And I just like, ugh, it's around here. There's so many, man. And so, yeah, but because he's the trilogy is the best. I've always said this. So there you are. Cap trilogy. Word.
All right. My number two is Quintessential Paul. It's from Army of Darkness, right? Not Evil Dead 2.
We can go there with geek because horror conventions. Absolutely. Go ahead.
Yeah, of course. Ash is one of the geekiest, nerdy characters in the horror world. And
well,
as
I'm
much as
right. yep.
that groovy moment in Evil Dead 2 is one of my favorite moments in cinema history, that set this up. So now, he has moments of heroicness. He has moments of awesomeness. In Army of Darkness, pretty much the first 15 minutes is him being awesome.
What does that start?
Army of Darkness, he gets captured. He goes, gets sent back to the 13th century.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, because that's how the other one ends.
He gets captured. He gets thrown into, because they think he's a demon / a spy for whatever the other kingdom is. They throw him into the pit. He fights the demons that are down there. And
did he have his gun?
He didn't have his gun at that point. Oh, yeah. Soothsayer, whatever his guy threw. Yeah. Stranger, and throws him his chainsaw. He jumps up.
That's right. It fits on his hand.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then he starts weighing about with it and kills the demon. Climbs out before the trap can kill him. Gets his gun and there's like, this is my boomstick.
Yep,
all those moments,
that,
right?
Yeah.
Then the thing climbs out. He shoots it and spins it. The camera zooms up to him and goes, now, let's talk how I get back home.
Yes.
Cut to him being in, being fed grapes and whatever.
Yeah, as you do when you win things.
And Beth David's coming up to him and first you want to kill me, now you want to kiss me. Blow. All these kind of like, it's just moment after moment, which culminates in the witch, which leaps, old woman gets possessed. Leaps into the air. You're gonna die doing the Evil Dead thing.
This was
there.
My favorite bit. Is this the bit?
Yeah.
That's your orgasm? Yeah.
Smacks him in the face. Smacks the king in the face. Everyone's running in. It's some great Sam Raimi camera work. All that kinetic, really frantic camera work. But held in one shot. None of this bullshit editing from every angle thing. And then Ash gets his gun. Loads it. Now, mind you, it's a double barrel shotgun.
Yes.
All right. Loads it. It's like, hey, she bitch.
If she looked around.
Let's go.
Yeah.
comes charging
it. Was Let's Go, wasn't it? Yeah. Yep.
Shoots it three times, right?
From a double barrel shotgun.
Which only adds to it for me, I have to be honest.
Yeah, I understand.
Right, in this kind of film. And then smacks it with the stock of the gun, spins around, so he's facing completely opposite to her. She gets off the ground and comes charging back at him, puts the gun on his shoulder.
Yes.
Squeezes the trigger, shoots it right in the middle of the chest. It dies. And he gives a fake shudder of an orgasm excitement.
Oh, you took this one literally too.
I took this one so literally because I was right there with him. Yeah. What a moment. This is when Ash reaches his pinnacle, when he's at his absolute best. And I've never been happier in a horror comedy in my life.
To be fair, firing a gun over your shoulder, that's going to win. He did it in... remember Sam Raimi did that in The Quick and the Dead with Russell Crowe as well? Yep. I was just like, that's just cool. I mean, cool I know it's ridiculous.
But it's ridiculous, but... Oh my God, it fits this film so well. And it's just perfect.
Nice. All right. Are we going 10 to 1 now?
Yeah. Let's reveal our 10, 3, 2. And then Wayne's going to give his number one of all time, his biggest nerdgasm ever.
Yep.
And be prepared to be coated, ladies and gentlemen.
You've seen these nuts. It's barely a spray. Okay. My number 10 was the opening of Kingsman, Jack Davenport. Number 9, Yoda kicking ass at the end of Attack of My Clones. Number 8, Deadpool taking out 15 bad guys with 12 bullets. 7, Darth in Rogue One. 6, the origin story of Indiana Jones in that Crusades movie. 5, James Bond, the glass marksman scene in Skyfall. Number 4, Batman's warehouse fight scene in Batman v Superman. 3 was bullet time in the original Matrix. Word. Number 2, Cap getting Mjolnir in Infinity Endgame. And my number 1 has been this way for many, many years. The first time I saw this, I was not old enough to come. Second, in the subsequent times, it's been like a bat.
Second time, I definitely was.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Everyone, it's from Return of the Jedi. And it's where Luke escapes the barge and he's like about to be thrown into the Sarlacc pit with Han Solo and all these motherfuckers behind him and shit. And then he does this move, people. He steps off. Everyone's, oh no. Then he turns around in the air, grabs the plank. Jumps, like, bounces back up in the air, flips. Now, flips are very important when you're a young man. You see, like, flips in the air, drops, right? Somehow, I think he actually frees his hands. And then, this is the actual bit. R2, from a different barge, emerges. Little panel opens. Fucking lightsaber pops out. Push, and fucking fires the lightsaber over to Luke.
Yeah, yeah.
He catches it in the air. That's the first time we see the motherfucker's green. He's got a green lightsaber, and everyone knows that new is cool in sequels when it wasn't. He had a blue one, now it's green.
Everyone knows
why?
Green is good.
Green is good. Well, the actual reason it's green is because the blue wouldn't show up against that Tunisian sky of blue sky, so they had to change it to green. But it turned out to be even cooler because it's like, oh, he's got a new
he's
one.
Got Yoda's, he's got a new he's one. Like Yoda.
Well, now we know Yoda's got one, but I don't think it would have happened if it weren't for this shit. So that was so cool. Then he goes bust cap. Well, you know, Han Solo fucks up Boba Fett accidentally, like by smashing his shit with a thing. But that whole sequence where you're, this may be the start of the EDC for me. I remember going home after that and going, how do I rig a system where something fires something in the air and then I catch it? That's just what I wanted to do because EDC? It's so cool. Yeah, it's just like tools and things that you have and stuff that you get. And
what does EDC stand for?
Oh, everyday carry.
Right.
It's where you know, you have things available to you by various means and it's just the thing that you carry. But anyway, Return of the Jedi. Luke busting ass on that thing and flipping. Very cool. That's my number one.
All right. Fair enough. My number 10 through 2. And then my number 10, the Avengers, the big shot where it spins around them. 9 for the Matrix Reloaded, the Chateau fight scene. Mm-hmm. 8, Wolverine finally going full Wolverine in Logan at the end of that film.
Wolverine.
Number 7, Wonder Woman, No Man's Land scene. Number 6, Creed, the incredible montage with he and Rocky. 5, Rogue One, Star Wars story. Of course, Darth at the end of that.
Mm-hmm.
4, from Lord of the Rings, Fellowship of the Ring, Aragorn resisting temptation and then throwing himself in the way of an army.
Bird.
Number 3, from Serenity, My Turn, when River Tam finally shows why the Alliance has been so afraid of her from the get-go of this TV show, Firefly. Number 2, Ash in Army of Darkness, when he shoulder shoots the witch demon that's trying to kill him.
Fair.
And my number 1 is what you alluded to earlier, from Avengers Endgame. It's the portal scene.
You know what?
On your left.
So cool. Again, set up in a Captain America movie.
Yep. Up in Winter Soldier when he meets Falcon. I can't remember Falcon.
Yep.
Steve.
Yep.
No, what's his name?
Anthony Edwards.
Yeah, that guy.
Anthony Mackie. Shit. Anthony
Edwards. Yeah, cool. Once his actor back. Yeah. anyway, cool. It's him and then steps through T'Challa and Shuri and Denai whatever name
and is. Everyone, man. Like,
and then after all of them open up, and the music is perfect.
The whole sequence is perfect.
When Cap is arrayed against the entire army of Thanos alone would enough mm-hmm. to be enough to destroy, but his entire army of Chitauri and all the rest of it, and
yeah.
Holy shit. And that is such a moment. That film, Endgame.
With the shield, he tightens the shield.
Yep. Okay. Oh, half a shield. It's been broken as well.
And he's human. He's enhanced, but he's only human. It's not even like all these magic motherfuckers turning up. He's like, well, let's go.
So incredible. And they all start charging towards each other. And then, and look, that film, Endgame, for me, the first two thirds of it are just, they're a letdown after Infinity War. This last 45 minutes to an hour is absolutely everything you want from a 23 film saga, capped off. No pun intended, by that moment in the film.
I can tell you that after the fourth watch, you're happy to watch all of Endgame, because I've done that so many times.
I'm pretty close to watching it again with my daughter. We are up to Black Panther.
Now, you're talking about those YouTube reaction videos. This gets a bigger, almost, well, probably a bigger than just the Cap Mjolnir thing, because it's like...
I think they're both amazing sequences. Yeah. You can almost argue
very close
whole,
to each other. The whole thing is... Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
but so, I thought I really wanted that moment, which
totally,
is...
Totally, totally. Let's talk just because I put the Cap on.
Even watching the YouTube video yesterday when compiling this list, which took longer than usual, I have to say. Chills, absolute chills, if you prefer nerdgasms all over again.
I want to see, is it the best? I think it's probably, in terms of the structure, the how many there were, it's the best movie franchise I've ever seen.
Oh, well, I mean, obviously,
it's the biggest for sure, but I think it's the best. Yeah, like to do what it did and to actually culminate in such a satisfying manner.
If I had
like
a choice between a new Star Wars film and a new MCU film that is really carrying on the central thrust.
That's a really good... I don't know which one I want more.
MCU.
At this stage... Well, let's see...
The TV shows that they've all talked about?
Yeah, Mandalorian's riding the ship a bit.
Yeah, it's helping.
Yeah. But you know what? Actually, I think you're right. MCU would just win for me. So, nice one.
All right, I had no honorable mentions. Cool. I got to these 10 and I'm like, I'm done. Fair enough. I'm totally spent.
All right, well, let me rip through a few of mine real slightly quick. Spider-Man Homecoming, where the villains, you know, I'm dating the villain's daughter. Holy shit. Obviously, the snap with Infinity War. Fast and Furious 6, who killed Han? And it turns out to be Jason Statham. I remember. I don't like this fucking series, this thing, but I was like, holy shit, that was a good one. Indy shooting the swordsman in Cairo. Unbreakable, where you figure out that Mr. Glass is motherfucking Sam Jackson and he's a cunt. Yeah, that's what I got. So there you go.
All right, that's Alice. What about yours? We wrap up every episode of The Countdown with your feedback on the topic in hand in a segment that we call the Pop 10.
Talk about
Pop 10.
Talk about
Pop 10.
Kicking off this week's Pop 10 with friend of the show, Dan from the Netflix and Swill podcast. Do check those boys out.
What's up, Dan?
The one where everyone shows up in this same movie from referencing Avengers Endgame. The one I just spoke about. Anth on Twitter said, growing up with Transformers as a kid, my nerd moment has to be the arrival of Optimus Prime in Michael Bay's Transformers, and I'm not embarrassed to say it either. Kat said, number 3, when Rey catches the lightsaber in The Force Awakens, fist bump moment. Number 2, Indiana Jones at the end of The Last Crusade, right off into the sunset with John Williams' score. I tear up every time.
It's pretty cool.
Lol.
I get it.
And number 1, Captain America in Endgame, Avengers Assemble. Excited scream. So kind of the culmination of my sequence I was just describing.
Very nice.
Duty from the Shaken Not Nerd podcast said, as bad as the movie is, seeing a Green Lantern in Justice League, also Sinestro, the end of Green Lantern, bad movie, but damn.
Nice subtle cum shot, that one. I remember going, very cool.
Seeing Tarkin in Rogue One, Boba Fett in Mandalorian, the mention of Thrawn. Yeah, that counts as one.
Who's Thrawn?
Thrawn is from the extended novels, I believe. He is
Yes. No, these are good. These are good nergasms.
And lastly, Kessel Run in Solo. Loved it, said Duty. From the Dumb Guzzler podcast, Millennium Falcon's first appearance in The Force Awakens.
Nice.
I can see that being one for big hardcore Star Wars fans for sure. Steve from the Everything I Learned from Movies podcast. Number 3, Mad Max Fury Road. Most of the movie. Nice. Number 2, seeing Cable in Deadpool 2. And number 1, the last 30 minutes of Avengers Endgame. So that one again. Brentley Oliver, good friend of the show, said, here you go, Wayne. Star Trek Into the Darkness.
Yes!
Kirk's sacrifice.
Oh, you know what? Because I didn't know that Benedict Cumberbatch was fucking Khan. He's like, I am Khan. I went, fuck, I didn't know that. Everyone else knew it. So I almost picked that. Then I thought everyone would just hate me.
Yeah. But everyone can hate Brentley instead. Star Wars, Rogue One, Darth Vader's Hallway, and Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, The Leap of Faith.
Really good call, man. Nice. Really good. That's a good one.
Sam Hurley from our good mate and from the Movie Reviews 20Qs podcast out of New Zealand. Vader in the Hallway, opening scene / the Joker intro to Dark Knight. That's, yeah, yep.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
and the entirety of Punisher Warzone.
Okay, trolling, good.
No, I think
really
he loves that movie. Legitimately loves it.
That's one directed by the girl, yeah?
Yeah. Alexander et al. Realized just how insane the character was and fucking went for it.
Wow. Okay.
The Moral Combat Pod. Moral Combat
very
Pod.
Very nice, very nice.
Top three nerdgasms. Harry Potter seeing Hogwarts for the first time. Cap wielding Mjolnir. And USA beating USSR in Miracle, which is a ice hockey movie.
Oh, okay.
Based on true events.
There you are.
J Squared said, in recent memory, Cap wielding Mjolnir, seeing the cast of villains in the Lego Batman movie, and Adonis Creed during his training montage.
Yeah, I see where this is going. I see where you're getting this from. Go on.
Kristen Acaro of the Facebook listening committee said, the gasm to end all gasms was Cap picks up Mjolnir. There you are, Wayne. That's one for you.
Boom.
Wonder Woman crossing No Man's Land accompanied by that iconic score. And the one short scene in Jurassic World when they throw open the balcony door, and the camera does a quick sweep over the fully operational open park to the classic Jurassic Park theme.
I do remember that. Nice.
That's very, very nice.
Very cool.
Joey DiCarlo, recent guest on the bonus episode of the podcast from the Soul Wizard podcast. He said, I'm going to try and go past the obvious one of Cap and Thor's hammer. The Falcon gets Cap's shield at the end of Endgame. Luke's lightsaber goes to Rey instead of Kylo in The Force Awakens. And Yeowyn kills the Witch King in The Return of the King, Lord of the Rings.
I never agreed with that Anthony Mackie Cap thing.
You still think it should be Bucky?
Yeah, absolutely. What the fuck is that guy? He's got a suit. Okay. So does everyone. Anyway.
John Huslander said, number three, Silence of the Lambs, the ambulance scene. I read the book before, knew it was coming, saw it on a date, still have marks on my arms from her fingernails as she had an ironclad grip during that scene. Wow.
How's the scratches on your back, son?
Number two, Cap, on your right. I think you meant on your left.
Yep.
And number one, dark hallway. You hear this mechanical breathing and then the lights up. Lights up. Ethan Petrie said, Cap and Mjolnir again. Wolverine goes to town, soldiers in the forest in Logan, and Darth Vader at the end of Rogue One. I think we have a couple of
you got main some Darth Vader going on here.
Josh Ragland said, when Eddie Stone and Jeff from Pearl Jam first appear as members of Citizen Dick in Singles.
That's right, they were in fucking Singles. Yeah.
Anytime an Easter egg pops up in a Pixar movie, and when Bill Murray makes his cameo in Zombieland as his number one.
Okay,
nice.
Nice
different list. Last two, Daniel Lowe says, the Harry versus Voldemort showdown in the last Harry Potter film. I know you guys don't give fuck with Harry Potter, but okay.
I'm told it's good.
No, number two, Cap catches Mjolnir. And number one, the Batman versus Superman fight. Forgetting the movie itself, I grew up wanting a proper Batman versus Superman live action fight. And Daniel got it.
Fair. It wasn't bad. It was just a movie that was bad.
And lastly, from John Amenta from the Pint of Comics podcast, do check them out. The final T-Rex scene in Jurassic Park as he bellows and the giant banner falls in front of him.
Yeah.
River Tam's My Turn moment in Serenity and Aragorn killing the giant, unrelenting Uruk-hai, so Lurk, whatever his name was, at the end of Fellowship. Saw that opening night and the crowd simultaneously shit themselves.
Big moves.
There we are. That's the topic done. Thank you so much to everyone who fed back. We couldn't get through it all, obviously, in this particular time frame, but we really appreciate you all weighing in and having some fun with these topics.
Damn right.
Wayne, how do listeners get back to us with their choices on the topic at hand or indeed general feedback on the show?
Google The Countdown Podcast and find all our socials or send us an email at thecountdownpodcast@gmail.com.
We're on Twitter at The Countdown PC. Check out the Facebook listener community links in the show notes, ccradio.com.au for ourselves, some other great Aussie podcasts. And finally, we host through podbean.com. where you can check out episodes going all the way back to episode 40 of the show.
Damn right. Again.
And that's it for this week's show, episode 306 of the Countdown Movie and TV Reviews. Wayne, what's happening next week for episode 307?
What did we say again? We did talk about this and then I didn't write it down. Why don't you go ahead and hit me with it?
Thankfully, I have just the response for this occasion.
No, you don't.
A, B,
oh,
C,
fuck
D,
you.
F, G,
what's wrong with you? Oh, fuck J, off. K, everyone, just shut it off. Shut the damn show off, all right? And then send Paul a picture of your asshole. Piece of shit. You're a piece of shit. You're a big piece of shit.
Episode 307 of the podcast, with thanks to Chef Ben Randall, is going to be the top 10 films that do not hold up from childhood or from when we were young.
Right. So... yeah, okay, good. We'll come up with a title for that.
Yeah, top 10 films that don't hold up.
Like that.
Whatever.
Something like that.
So we'll have to agree upon parameters because this week you will know.
Well,
you will
I know. Paul's going to fuck it up again. So who knows what the fuck we're going to have to put this shit on a damn. I think we might have to put a contract together. Something like that. Something like that.
That's next week's show, so we hope you'll join us then. Thank you so much for joining us today. My name is Paul.
My name is Wayne.
And this has been The Soundboard.
You're killing me, Smalls.
Fuck off.
Seriously.
Eat it. The dick I mean after I blow my nerdgasm beams in your face. I'm so sorry, everyone, that Paul fucked up this week. But I'll see you next week.
Cock juggling thundercock.
As will I. Catch you next time.
Top 10 movie farts. Top 10 movie flatulence. Flatch lives.
No.
Are you sure? Because no. I think that would win.
I thought
there's your sound
another drop, non-swearing episode would be fun.
Ooh, yeah, all right.
Yeah. Maybe not immediately because it'll be another shitty on episode. Because we're going to do... Oh, that's what we're going to do. Top 10 sequels that... We can't call it Shat the Bed, but top 10 sequels...
SH at sign T, the
but,
that,
but we can't even mention the title if we're doing a non-swearing episode.
Or is that funnier?
Doctor films that beep the bed.
Yes, that poo-pooed and then made chocolate the bed.
Top 10 films you dropped off at the pool.
There, it's a bunch of shit and thingos.
Euphemisms.
Euphemisms. Yeah, and I feel like this episode should be a euphemism for busting it, for fucking coming.
I don't think it's
I'm making cum jokes all through the show, so
much,
just so you
not
know.
Not much of a euphemism, let's be honest.
No, but like...
Pretty much there for the taking.